Joining me now is Sean Foley, who is the Artistic Director at the Rep Birmingham. Hello, Sean.
Hello there. Hi.
Folks would have seen your name probably in a number of circles, but let's start with your...
Outside the police station?
Probably that, yeah. I imagine that's one of the things on my list.
certainly one of them.
Let's talk about your role as Artistic Director, because I guess you've newly come on board, haven't you, in some ways?
Oh, I'm completely new to the role, yes, although I was appointed last summer. But at the time of appointment, I had a number of freelance projects that I was still yet to do. The last of which actually was Upstart Crow, the stage adaptation of Ben Elton's marvellous sitcom about William Shakespeare, starring David Mitchell. And so we did that in London's glittering West End. We'd just opened it. It had gone terrifically well. We'd just been nominated for an Olivier Award. Then the coronavirus struck. So in common with every other theatre, we had to shut that down. And I just sort of really landed back in Birmingham after opening that show and was really getting my feet under the desk when, of course, we had to shut Birmingham Rep as well. So all three auditoria in the Birmingham Rep had to be shut down, and we've closed the building and we've furloughed sort of 140 staff, and there's a skeleton staff left of about 10, 12 of us. It's not the start you would have thought you could possibly imagine, but there we go.
It's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? So let's start with that in terms of what you're kind of facing. I mean, you've described some of the elements of it there, but I think I've said this to other people, but people wrongly, I think, look at theatre as happening there and then on the night, but there's so many things behind the scenes that have to happen and happen a long time before performances. So how have you sort of managed some of that sort of creative machinery, if you like, and channeled it into other things?
Well, that's a very good question, because it's something that we're grappling with sort of on a day-to-day basis, because like everybody else, of course, we're sort of trying to read the runes and when will we come back, first of all, out of lockdown, then which parts of the economy will start up again. And there's no doubt that theatre and going out to bars, going to restaurants, going to a concert, that it's going to be the last part of our economy that is really opened up, because that's the place where people gather, you know, in close proximity. So we're very worried for our industry. Obviously, that's pales into insignificance when you think about the NHS and what key workers are doing at the moment. But we are very worried, because it takes a long time to put things up on the stage, to put a production together. It's not just a case of, well, at the end of lockdown, if you have a shop, you can open up the shop and start selling stuff. But if you have a theatre, you have to open up the theatre, all go back in, start rehearsal, start building the set. You know, it's months later that you put something on, and those months are months without any income, because you only get income when you put it in front of the audience, of course. So everything in our industry at the moment is trying to work out how best to manage that situation.
There's a lot of, I guess, interdependencies. You know, there's a lot of things that are interconnected, but it's also very complex, isn't it? You know, so even day-to-day things in terms of, you know, if schools go back, certain work things can go back into place, but it won't just be sort of slotting them back as they were as well. I think that's another thing we're trying to get our heads around.
I think so, and like I say, like everybody else, nobody knows what's on the other side of this and how we're going to be able to interrelate, basically. So an industry that just relies on people gathering in one spot, you know, hundreds of people coming to see a show, then obviously you've got a bit of a difficulty if you've got to be socially distanced at any stage. If you think of our main stage and the main auditorium at Birmingham Rep, we've got 830 seats. Now, we've had a look at how many seats would be left if we have to be socially distanced at 2 meters, you know, between each person, or even, I guess you could get family groups in or something like that, but it comes down to, you know, our capacity comes down to way under 200 people, and you just can't afford to run a show on that basis.
Let's talk about that clean slate that you mentioned in January that you kind of took on at the Rep. And you mentioned some of the sort of, I guess, comedy things that you've done. And I know you've done more than comedy. But tell me a bit about your sort of mission, if you like, at the Rep. That's a grand term. But I think you've got quite a quite a big vision in terms of what you want to do with the theatre and with kind of drama more broadly?
I guess so. I think the excitement that I had at the idea of coming to the Rep was, you know, one, the history of Birmingham Repertory Theatre anyway, which is, did anyone even know these things? You know, it was the first purpose-built repertory theatre in the UK. I mean, I know that's the old Rep on Station Street, but nevertheless, it's got this historic place within the UK theatre industry, you know, and it's the forerunner of both the RSC and the National. People like Olivier were there, you know, and more latterly, some, you know, amazing local stars like Lenny Henry played there. So it's got this amazing history. That was one thing I was really excited about. And the other thing that I was really excited about was being in a theatre in such an exciting city, the UK's second city, the only other UK city of only 1 million people, such a diverse city, such an exciting international city with so many amazing things just on the horizon, you know, like the Commonwealth Games. So I felt like there was some amazing energy and a renaissance, really, of Birmingham. And I wanted to be a part of that. That was my initial thought into coming into the theatre and wanting to add to it, wanting to create a theatre, you know, as a place where everybody felt that they could come. Everyone can come and have a good night out. You might go and see a new piece of drama if that's your thing, or might want to go and see, you know, a well-known show in a version that we're doing. So it's really for me about opening up the theatre and trying to make shows and put on things that I'm interested in getting the sort of non-theatre people, you know, keeping the people who love theatre and want to come out for that kind of evening, but also making it open and letting people understand, giving them a welcome to come to the theatre and have a great night out. So that's really what I'm about, I think.
And I think I'm right in saying there are some personal connections as well to Birmingham. Your mum's a Brummie, I believe.
My mum's a Brummie.
And you grew up here for a time?
Well, it sort of went like this. My mum's a Brummie and my dad was an immigrant Irish guy. It's a pretty typical Birmingham story in lots of ways. then curiously, don't ask me how, they did meet in Birmingham, but then I think my dad got a job in Lincolnshire. I was born in Lincolnshire and then we moved back. So I sort of grew up my primary school years in the suburbs, actually, of Birmingham. So, but I've still got a lot of, from my mum's side, a lot of family around Birmingham, the city, and just outside it. So, yeah, I say, you know, by parentage, I'm half Brummie, half Irish.
It sounds like a good setup as well, doesn't it, for a gag, I think.
It does, and I'm the gag. I'm the joke.
Let's talk a little bit, some of the things you mentioned just at the start, which I think it's worth touching on, because they are not just hugely popular, but I think quite brave as well, some of the things that you've taken on. So you mentioned Upstart Crow, which I guess probably people will probably know your name best for, I guess, at the moment. Would that be fair to say? I know you've done lots of other things around it, but is that the thing that perhaps your name sort of your name stuck to?
I guess so. I've no idea, really. I mean, most people sort of don't really take on board like who's directed something. Yeah, I've done a number of really successful West End productions, you know, all pretty much all of them comedies. Prior to that, I was more of a performer and writer, so I sort of co-wrote a number of other very successful West End comedies. So I've been really creating comedies for the theatre for about the last 20 years, sometimes writing and being in them and sometimes directing them, more latterly directing them. But that's my USP, if you like, is to try and make people laugh in a theatre.
Now, I said brave. I used the word brave advisedly, I hope, because yeah. Upstart Crow is a very popular television series, and it's always difficult, isn't it, to translate that kind of thing onto the stage. And I think it's probably important to say that you haven't just taken it, you know, moved it bit by bit onto the stage. It's more of it's very original, isn't it? It's a kind of fresh version of setup.
Yes, it was. And really, that's down to Ben Elton, who literally wrote a play based on those characters in the sitcom, sent it to me. I don't know if he sent it to me first, but anyway, I read it and I thought this is just, it's not a rip-off, I guess is the thing. It's not a sort of like, oh, let's bung a couple of the, you know, the best bits from the TV series together and sort of lamely stitch it together for an evening out. He actually wrote a terrific, funny comedy play, and that's what we all worked on, and that's what people responded to in the theatre, featuring a dancing bear, no less. Quite apart from lots of other things. So yeah. But I seem to have a bit of a history of taking on these completely ridiculous things, where actually you sort of feel like it's a bit of a poison chalice. You're going to fall flat on your face. I mean, way back when, nearly 20 years ago now, I co-wrote and starred in a show called The Play What I Wrote, which was a kind of Malcolm and Wise kind of tribute show. And we had amazing guest stars in it. And that was my first big success in the West End, actually. And again, that was something where you think, well, just don't touch it. You know, you're bound to fail. Anyone who sort of pretends they can be anything near as good as Malcolm and Wise, you're on a hiding to nothing. But we made that work as well. So I don't know, show on, you know, around the characters of Jeeves and Wooster, that was a big hit 4 or 5 years ago in town. So there's lots of shows I've done that use that thing of actually, you sort of know the characters, but it's done in a new way.
I suppose they're almost sacred, aren't they, some of those things, you know? So, you know, Malcolm and Wise is comedy in their routines and sort of Eddie Braben material, those kind of things. People are almost fearful of unpicking them or approaching them. Same, I suppose, really, with things like The Man in the White Suit. You know, people have a you know, very fond memories of that film and the kind of the performance and the presence of that, if you like. So again, that's why I use the word brave, because I think you know, it's not for the faint-hearted, is it, to sort of look at interpreting those things?
I guess another word would be foolhardy. I mean, I've done a number of those. Man in the White Suit is a good example, a sort of classic Ealing comedy. A number of years before that, I did another Ealing comedy, which was The Lady Killers, and we did that on stage. I guess what it is that you have to do is you can't just do, as I've said about Upstart Crow, it's you have to surprise people in some sort of way. You need to give them sort of what they want, but in an unexpected and more fun way, and actually make it theatrical. So you're not just looking at badly staged version of something that would be better on TV or film, because that's where they started. You've got to make it a really great night out, a great theatrical experience. This is Switch.
Let's go back to that sort of idea you had earlier about, I suppose, about openness and about access. And it's not necessarily, I don't think, about making theatre more popular. It's perhaps more making it, or ensuring it's relevant, really, I suppose. And I think from your kind of comedic background, if you like, I suppose you are someone that's probably quite resilient and quite good at improvising and making it up as you go along. So those are kind of useful useful things. But I'm just wondering how that sort of openness translates into where we are at the moment. So I know Rep are doing a number of things online. So could you just tell us about some of those things? Because if people look, you know, if they Google the Rep, one of the first things that comes up is a picture and a big red sign saying temporarily closed. So how are we getting around that hurdle?
Well, that's, again, a really good question. And what we've decided to do, that, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know that, but a theatre like the Rep not only creates and produces and presents shows, so we don't just employ, you know, directors and actors and writers to put something together. We actually do an enormous amount of work. The other side of it is a kind of real civic purpose, I guess, of working with schools all around Birmingham, working with lots of different community groups, lots of adult engagement groups, and creating work with ordinary people who, you know, may or may not feel that they have an interest in theatre, but somehow get involved with what we're doing and usually have a lot of fun. So we decided that was a part of what we do that we could maintain during this time, because it isn't about getting people to the theatre and presenting a show. So we've tried to put as many things of that nature online. Like, we've got our whole youth theatre, which usually has a sort of summer school, we've put online. So we've got all the professional kind of workshop leaders and directors who are part of our summer school. They're doing it, you know, via Zoom calls, you know, down the line, down people's computers, to all the people signed up for that. We've got an amazing theatre company called Lightpost Theatre Company, which is entirely made up of young Afro-Caribbean men in Birmingham who create their own material, working with our theatre workers, and they're continuing to go on. So there's a whole range of activities, actually, even though, as you say, the front page as you get to the website says we're shut. If you just noodle around a little bit more on that front page, there's probably a link that goes, but we're doing these things. Our kind of tagline is, it's only the interval. And during the interval, we've got a number of things going on in the foyer, as it were, the virtual foyer of the theatre. We're still working. So until the curtain goes up again, we're actually doing certainly as much as we can, and that's quite a lot of contacting people and doing all that community work, really, that we always do.
So a lot of that kind of schools program, it's much broader than that, but that's happening, I think, until sort of mid-July, the Rep Reloaded kind of program, that element of it. And I like how that's described in some of the information as being a kind of navigator for children. It's not a sort of, you know, it's not a course, it's not something that's being done unto people. It's something that perhaps helps them work out the kind of the wiring of theatre and drama.
Yeah, exactly. And as it would be if, you know, they were able to come into the theatre, it's all about showing people and welcoming people into what is, you know, yes, it's an industry, and yes, it is for some people, they want to go and do it professionally, and how do I do that, and how do I become an actor? And some people go, well, how do I work backstage? You know, how do I become someone who builds the props? How do I become someone who puts the lights up and designs all the lighting? You know, and that's also what we're there for. We're an incredible resource, and we're trying to work out how we can actually start to run apprenticeships again. We do actually have one apprentice who's apprenticed to sort of stage management work, but I'd love it for that to go across, you know, every part and every job within the theatre, because lots of people will sort of go, well, that's not for me, or how can I get into it, or, you know, I don't know, that's for posh people, or whatever it is. But it's like any other job. You know, if you're passionate about it, you can get into it. But we all need to make that, you know, make that welcome very genuine to people. And if they want to get into the business, they can. That's my attitude. And it's all about offering that welcome, I think.
Excellent. And just finally, Sean, I just wanted to ask you one thing I picked up on some of the Rep Reloaded information was the idea of a coronavirus time capsule, which I thought was fascinating. I was just going to ask you, if you had to pick a momentum of this time, what do you think it would be that you would bury in the garden?
I tell you what, I might bury my computer. I do so many Zoom calls. It's like everybody, you know, you don't meet anyone anymore. You just meet them through Zoom and through sort of virtual chatting and everything. So I think it'll be good to get rid of that and actually meet people in real life.
Okay, well, Sean, it's been great to have time to talk with you. Send all our best and all our support to the Rep, and hopefully we can speak again soon on this show. But for now, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.